The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, listen.
You've been pressuring me to talk about this game for, I don't know what, like 8 months, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. Right, this has been this thing's been on your docket for quite a long time. You basically had to drag this game and me across the United Cities of America to discuss it. So please, you introduce this. Please, this is your thing.
Ironically, I think you just did it though, right? That's too good to not use. That was the intro. Now right. We're fucked. We're great. Stuck.
Yeah.
Yep. So you
beached,
got,
if you will.
You, Adam gets to crap on the parade before it has even begun. That's right, everyone. It's one-upsmanship, and it's going to be, it's a big, big one. It's a big day.
It really
gonna
is.
It's going to be a contentious one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's our Death Stranding episode. That's right, Death Stranding, because every character pronounces it with that emphasis, and I want to do honor to this fantastic game pronouncing it correctly. So we're covering Death Stranding today on One Upsmanship. I am
great.
Michael Swaim.
I am Adam Ganser.
That's right.
And I am
I'm
also
so happy
forlorn
to know it.
Because today is the day that we discussed Death Stranding. So look, I think the audience deserves to know, like, right away, this is going to be a doozy because we feel very opposite.
Caveats up top.
Yeah, yeah. We feel very opposite on this game, but it's great.
I think it's fabulous. He thinks it's incredible.
Like, yes, like, I don't think it's credible. It's like
he can't
I
believe
find that
how good it is. Yeah. It's not to be believed.
Correct.
The highly divisive game, Death Stranding.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it, because I really
great.
Just want to hop to game on, but you can't. You got to do the due diligence. Much like packing up your fucking, yeah, you know what I mean. So let's pass our first checkpoint, which means we've used our, I love Kojima lore, dude. It's so specific. We've used our Cupid to bring South Knot onto the chiral network. Shut up, it's great. Fuck you. and our BT's giggling and happy in his little tank. So that means it's time for the speed run.
Yeah. I'll do the speed run because I
really
like, yeah. Well, no, you can all do right. it. But see, then what happens is the first rant is me destroying this game. And I honestly feel like the audience deserves to hear your positive take on this first. I really do. I really firmly believe that's important for this episode.
But I'm worried that you're gonna, the people who haven't played this game, or, because here's the thing about this game, it's the kind of game that a lot of people, I think, skipped because of the marketing and what it looks like it is.
Okay, all right.
And you're gonna argue that it is that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just say it, walking simulator, but I'm gonna explain why it's not. And I don't want you to color their minds by starting with a speed run that's like, in this crappy game.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I'll do a professional job of this.
With a professional speed run, here's your host, Adam Ganser. Start the clock.
Thank you. So Death Stranding is an action game developed by Kojima Productions, the first game since Hideo Kojima left the Metal Gear franchise. It was very hyped. It was there was a lot of tension at the back of that decision, so this was a highly anticipated game. It is a third-person, I guess we'd call it an action, you know, walking type game. There's like deliveries and bikes and there's some mild combat.
It's a strand game, Adam. Yeah. He said this very publicly. It's a new genre. It's a strand game.
Stop it. So the game features extensive plot and world building. Also has some of the best video capture of actors we've seen so far. Has a lot of big celebrities in it, including Norman Reedus, who plays Sam Porter Bridges, the main character. It is a complicated story about a post-apocalyptic world that is sort of infested with a cataclysmic, quasi-spiritual group of BTs who are sort of phantoms that could at any moment attach themselves to an existing human being and create an explosion of afterlife death called void outs. And that's the simplest explanation that I can think of for it. There is much, much more to this game. Ultimately, it's the story of our main character's origin. And it's ultimately sort of unspooling the very dense lore that sort of makes this game what it is. It is a sort of thriller-inspired motif, but largely it is about navigating difficult terrain. It was released in
emotionally, and literally.
Correct. It was released in November of 2019. It has received favorable reviews, although it is extremely divisive. And I think that's my speedrun.
Very divisive speedrun, but well done.
Yeah, I did. I didn't load it up too much with commentary.
I've recently switched from divisive to divisive. I think it sounds smarmier.
Yeah, it's a real
like my
Death
head
Stranding.
Is slightly further up my ass. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, great.
Divisive.
Neat.
So what does that take us to? We pass a checkpoint.
Correct. That means we've come back from the ether, been reborn, vomit some strange black ink that sometimes becomes bugs, attach our baby to our chest so we can see the afterlife and keep going.
Someone finally showed mules how guns work and we are fucked now. Yeah.
That'd
be
good.
It's just odd that in the hyper future they're chasing you with sticks. Trying to bat at you.
That is an odd thing. I agree with that. That is an odd decision. That leads us to the game rants.
Sure.
That our first player, Mr. Michael Swaim himself, will embark upon whenever he's ready.
Player one plugging in. Okay, so I certainly enjoyed Phantom Pain, the fifth Metal Gear Solid, and Metal Gear Solid 2 was sort of incredibly seminal and intensely enjoyable, I think holds up, to the whole stealth action genre and movement as a whole. So already have great respect for the dude. I think I celebrate more than anything that there can be auteur filmmakers in the realm of gaming, so to speak. The idea that this guy has fully conceived visions that are brand new IPs, not derivative of an existing story, that are ambitious, is enough to celebrate for me alone. But when you couple that with the fact that this story, particularly Death Stranding, is about something that I just hold to be one of the fundamental truths of existence and something that I fret about constantly, and that's just at the metaphysical core of my being, which is getting closer to or further away from the realization that we are all connected at some base level, that there's an energy or a spiritual, or however you interpret it. It could be as simple as if you think all humans are is a bundle of advanced features and consciousness is one of them, there's base programming, the brainstem, that level, that thing, at that place at which all life is connected, that universal rhythm, so to speak, the ability to connect to another human being and truly feel connected, and it sustains you. It's like one of the only things worth celebrating in life. My love for Adam and his love for me. I think this game is about all those things, and I think that's so much more impactful to me than Metal Gear Solid, which is equally arcane lore, but just for the exercise of cool spy shit and family drama and like, the nukes are gonna go off, we gotta stop it, he's a clone of that guy, he's evil, he's gonna be a terrorist. This story does something that I think every good, let's say, play does, where, and I'll break this down in Game On, every single note in the symphony is resounding off of the same point. Like, the theme is so clear. It's such a cohesive vision. And for me, oh, there's too much to say, dude. There's also an aspect of comparing this to Animal Crossing New Horizons, where this was that for me. Like, it came at just the right time in terms of quarantine and COVID, at a time where I felt so isolated. It simulated the sheer understanding that connecting to other humans is a joy in and of itself. And even though it's just a simulation, that was really important to me at the time. All of these conspire to make it Michael's pick of the week. No, this is, for now, in official one-upsmanship canon, I am dislodging Psychonauts. This is my favorite game. Death Stranding, I think, is the most important achievement in video game narrative so far that we have seen. As a species, that's my rant.
Player two, I have to say, sadly, logging in, I really would love to have the experience of this game you're having, because I don't at all. I am going to spend a lot of this episode listening to what you think. I'm going to do that because I'm hoping that you'll trigger something in me that's like, oh, maybe I missed it with this game, because I hated this game.
Yes,
I hated it.
Yes.
So, I don't hate the things you like about it. I really don't. I think the things you like about it are there. I just think it is a complete mess. It's a mess. Everything about it is convoluted and stupid and like hard to get to, and there's hours between pieces of crucial information that would help make it all make sense. So like, this, the problem with this game is the problem that mystery box shows have when they're not good, which is most of them, right? And that is, it's like this constant drip of weird, obscure things that are not explained. And then when you do get the explanation, it's been such a long time that you're not satisfied with it. That's, like, my critique of this game is that the execution of it is all bad. All of it's bad. I don't mean that it looks bad. I don't mean that the acting is bad. I mean, the storytelling is bad. So, like, Kojima is an auteur. I totally agree with you on that. I completely agree. But he's bad. He's bad at storytelling. He has an amazing visual sense. Like, I'm envious at times of his ideas for camera shots. I think he's great at that. He is horrible at telling us information in a way that emotionally inspires. Horrible at that, which is the fundamental job of a director. He's horrible at that. That's the first thing. Second thing is, this game isn't fun. It's not fun. It is not fun to walk and like try to balance 85 packs on your back. That's the game. That's all it is. The game is collect your piss, collect your blood, hit these weird ghosts that'll kill you instantly if you don't hit them with the grenades, and keep walking with luggage
please
to the next
Adam,
fucking city.
Please picture Adam on any random street corner in your neighborhood saying this aloud to
That's
the
what
air.
It is.
It's delightful.
That's what it is.
Collect your piss and fucking walk with the shit on your back.
That's what it is. It's like, so on the one hand, I admire Kojima for the tight, perfectly executed like animation and button control. Like there's poetry in the motion of his video games. There's poetry in the landscape of his video games. There's poetry in the angles of his video games. But all the narrative information is like a fucking train wreck. It is so difficult to emotionally attach to anything narratively in this game for me. Now, I suspect, before we get into Game On, I suspect on a fundamental level, this is going to turn into the same conversation you and I have about Fallout. And that is, I think on a spreadsheet, we agree on what this game is trying to say. And you can experience the emotions with just that. I can't. I need the actual execution of it to work for me to have the joyous experience.
The deployment, the conveyance of the thing. Yeah,
correct. And I understand that that's in part because of the craft that I've chosen to spend my time working on. And it's also because I think that I am less intellectually curious than you in some ways. I think you're a little more intellectually curious. And I think, so sometimes I think you get a tickle from things that are just different. And I'm a little bit more like, I'm going to filter that through the things I already think. And that's like, you know, on the one hand, it's one of my strengths. On the other hand, it's one of my flaws. So this sort of like exposes like some personality quirks that are different between us. And I like that about it. I do admire the ambition of it. I completely admire it. It's why I've tried to play it 5 different times. Like, I've put in probably 100 hours in this video game and never gotten more than 25 hours into it.
No, boy. Never. Well, that's going to color your experience of it, I think, to some degree.
Oh, yeah. Well, but again, I've never tried so hard to like a game. Never. Never tried this hard to like a game. In part because I thought it has a great packaging, and in part because I know how much you care about it, and I want to connect to it for that reason. But I don't. And I don't want to keep saying that over and over. So that's my rant.
Game On.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
We passed another checkpoint, and I'm not even going to bother thinking of a metaphor because I just want to get into it. So,
great.
We should point out, I guess, do people even... Oh, there's so much, dude. So for I hear people in the industry pronouncing it Kojima also. I don't know if we should switch. I've been saying Kojima my whole life.
I'm only going to give him so many changes. So he can have Death Stranding, but he can't have Kojima.
Kojima. Okay.
Yeah,
so we'll call him Kojima. So that's canon now. Apologies if it's technically incorrect. We have much respect for the man. But also, so how far have you gotten? You didn't complete the storyline, correct?
I got to a place, but I watched all the videos so that I know what happened. So I sailed over, like, I beat the first big boss and I sailed around and I got to a place where we were kind of making like very rudimentary weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was bored. And I was like, maybe we won't actually cover this game. So I stopped playing it. I tried, man. Yeah. I tried a bunch of times.
No, I believe you. So yeah. I, I think it's worth saying because I think a lot of people who are aware of it, even in detail, because it was heavily marketed and because it's Hideo, may not know the details of the plot. But like the basic gist in the marketing leading up to this game's release, and I think even afterwards, what people who knock it fixate on is that the gameplay loop, to some degree, because that's what I contend with, I wouldn't even say to a large degree, is focused on walking with purpose, like meditative focused walking and focusing on making sure you're walking correctly. I would argue that there are, and like, it's first of all stunning the number of different systems that ultimately evolve where that is broken up. So like, yes, a simple run is just walking, but eventually it's walking, but also keeping your BB satisfied while also making runs on the mule's stashes, deploying any number of weapons in any variety of ways to do so, playing hide and seek, and then cutting umbilical cords and collecting chiralium from the dispatched beached things, you know, after you eventually unlock the full range of things that you do. I think it is a huge disservice to say walking simulator. And yet at the same time, I don't care if you do characterize it as a walking simulator, because I think part of the game is about, in the same way, I think it's a continuation of what Rockstar did with Red Dead 2. Games don't have to be constantly thriller only. It can also involve meditation, especially a game that's willing to have challenging adult themes in the way that I think this game does have at its core. Even though I agree that on the surface, the lore is very like, I don't know, Neon Genesis, however you pronounce it, Evangelion, I never know. But you know, like, crazy outsized lore that is on its surface just like novel for novelty's sake. I agree with you. Like,
yeah,
dead, like Die Hard Man, like literally the name Die Hard Man.
Why are they wearing stupid ass masks?
Skull mask.
Why the fuck are they doing that? It's like, what? Who would do that? No one would do that.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah.
What's it? Sorry, who's the director? I know him. Guillermo del Toro, who
is del Toro, yes, correct,
dead man who turns out to be literally like a stem cell Frankenstein, and
sure, cool.
So like, full disclosure, I think that's true, and you should know my bias. Part of what I love about this, and it actually has this in common with Psychonauts, even though Psychonauts has such a different tone, is that it's weird for weird's sake. Shit like that does not bother me. I love it. Like,
yeah,
people know I talk up Scud the Disposable Assassin a lot. Eraserhead's one of my favorite movies. I like weird. I like surrealist art. I like things that literally embody the sensation weird. So I do think that's part of it. And I just think it's so elevated, as I said, my rant, by the fact that instead of focusing on like spycraft, this game's narrative is focused on, and that's what I am belaboring, but eventually wanted to get out the basics of the plot. A guy whose job is to essentially be a courier in a post-apocalyptic civilization, and he's essentially trying to bring an internet online so that every different town, which are called knots, can be connected to a greater network so that the scattered remnants of humanity can cohese into something resembling a nation. He's trying to reconnect America specifically.
Rebuild. Yeah, rebuild the United Cities of America. That's what he wants to do.
That's right. Should I just go on and on? Like, should I feel like there should be some ping pong?
Let me respond to a few things you said. I'm glad you're making the distinction that at some point the game does get robust enough that it's not just like you're not just walking, right? That's 100% true. The main loop is walking, though. Like the core
and
loop is
walking. Inventory management, and you love Destiny, so back off.
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm not saying even if it. I mean, technically, the core loop of Mario is jumping.
Well, the inventory management. Can you agree, like, or do you agree? I found so crisp and satisfying and dialed
in. It's crisp, but it's also convoluted. It's like Kojima has so many ideas that they kind of stack on top of each other and obscure each other in some ways, right? And I know that's a thing, for instance, that you as a human being don't have trouble with. You don't have trouble with that. Like, I think, like, you can process multiple ideas at once and not feel like they're getting each other's way. That's, I can't do that. I can't do that. That feels distracting and convoluted to me. And, like, that might just be a limitation that I have. I can give, like, a real-life example that I think you'll find entertaining, at least, is, like, so Abe and Mike and I decided we were going to watch one of the presidential debates together. Right. And then we also decided, hey, we want to have like a meeting about how the podcasts are going. Right. And so Abe and Mike are having this conversation about like, you know, just what podcasts are we liking, what things should we change, et cetera, which is a normal business conversation. And I'm getting so stressed out while it's happening because I can't listen to two things at once. I just can't do it. That like when they finally finish, I'm like, I'm sorry, we're going to have to do this whole thing on a different day. they're like, well, we already had the meeting. I'm like, I can't have the meeting and watch the debate at the same time, which I kind of bummed everybody out.
And as I recall, we never did.
And we never did, right, exactly. So like,
I'll give you a real life example that I think is very telling. We just exchanged screenplays, spec scripts, and gave each other feedback. Yeah. And your feedback on mine was, it's a little dense. You kind of cram in too much. And my feedback on yours was, it's a little slight, like the bones are there, but can't you cram in more bells and whistles?
Yeah, couldn't you get more things? Yeah, that's so true. No,
it's
exactly.
It's just the way we are, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to belabor everything over that and be like, but me is better. like I don't want to do that. But I do want to say, think most people, like I still think both you and I are on the far edge of comprehension, of like analytical comprehension and as a media watcher. Like we're still way out there.
In terms of being steeped in all we do all day is ingest media. Yeah.
Yes. And also being critical, detailed watchers of content.
Right.
And consumers of, like I would say on a bell curve, like we're pretty far on one edge.
Yes.
I would hope, right. So that means most people want less than this. Most people want less than this, I think. I think that's why it got such mixed reaction, is that like there's just too much here. Like I feel like there's four games worth of things here. I think you could spend an entire game just with the sister plot and what's going on with the BTs. That alone is a game. That's it.
Well, just, there's like, also, follow but that. I mean... So do you think movies shouldn't have subplots that riff on the central theme? Because if the central theme is connection, I think what he's done is give you a small beer flight or like serving selection or charcuterie board of like B arcs that support that theme from or examine it from different angles. Like Mama and Lachna's thing is a B arc, you know, just simple setup and payoff, but like the mother daughter connection, and then different characters represent different riffs on what it is for humans to find connection or have an obstacle to finding connection. Fragile's whole deal. Very good. Love Fragile's whole deal.
Yeah. I like Fragile's deal too. I don't like the name Fragile. It's fucking ridiculous. But
well, especially after what's her name?
Quiet. Yeah.
Who had
His
to be naked all
awful.
The time.
His names are awful. They're like junior high names.
You think Sam Porter Bridges is too on the nose?
That's like the best name, too, that he gets. Like the rest of them are stupider than that.
I wanted to name our current dog Sam Porter Bridges, but we ended up going with Rolly Bush by a thin margin. Isn't Sam Porter Bridges a good dog name? You
for
can count on that dog. Yeah,
great name. Yeah, great name for a dog. So look, so your question originally was, do I think that that subplots that reinforce the main plot are a thing that
or
that,
connected tonally or by theme?
Yeah, I totally do. But again, it comes down to sort of execution. To get these B plots, we have to get very invested and learn all kinds of new things about the world to understand what the plot is. So like it's like learning Avid for every one of these fucking plots. It's like, okay, so I don't get, so like they're twins, but she has a baby that's a chiral connected baby, and like we gotta sever the loop because she died. Or the baby died when they had this explosion because she was pinned under some rocks, but she has this twin that hates her. And it's like, well, how does any of this shit work? You know, like, and honestly, you're asking these questions, though, because he sits there and meticulously looks at this shit. And you're like, well, then fucking how does it work? Like, why are some things connected to others? Why does my urine hurt spirits? I don't get that. You know, it's not done in such a way that those questions don't exist. So, like, to give you a contrast, right? So, mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick the game Sunset Overdrive. Have you ever played that game?
Yeah, it's a bunch of colorful nonsense. That's fun.
I like that game personally. I like that game. I thought that was a good game. I thought it was kind of underrated. Now they throw a lot of shit at the wall in that game, right? A lot of things.
Right. Isn't it like an energy drink made everyone zombies? So,
yeah,
or something?
Makes everyone into a weird zombie, and they grow it. Like, and you know, there's a lot of weird lore to the game. You know, as you're playing, like for some reason you can surf on rails
on neon.
Never
or whatever.
Explained. Yeah. And I think that game wisely decided, as long as we keep everything in tone and don't make you ask questions, you will accept these gigantic leaps of logic because it's fun. You know what I mean? So, like, you're not going to have questions about it because it's fun. And I think they were right about that.
But the thing is, I think Death Stranding strives for, you're right, it's, despite all of its weirdness in the sense of each character you interact with has their own really weird, unique thing going on. Like Hartman dies every 21 minutes for 3 minutes. Like everyone has their own thing.
I think that's awesome.
That is a very cool, fresh idea. But in every case, you have to learn a whole. So what's his whole deal? You have to like learn it, which I love because I think it's the kind of lore that poring over is actually substantive. Whereas like, as opposed to reading books in Skyrim, where you're like, wow, someone really made the intern sit down and write a lot of fake legends about the crow god or whatever for the bookshelf. And this is something Fallout does well. The material, although I agree with you that it's deployed in a scattershot fashion because there's much less control. It's an open world game also. It's a pretty incredible accomplishment that in an open world game, I think that the pacing is as tight as it is, frankly. But I agree with you that it has that Hideo feel of being a bit of a mess of like information could have been displayed in a clearer order. That's
just briefly
correct.
Briefly, it's open world, but there's nothing in the world. There's nothing there.
But the world is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the
it's all rocks and rivers.
And
yeah.
The music, especially the actual like soundtrack tracks that play when you reach certain vistas and certain
very
key
cool.
points.
Yeah.
So are so resonant that to me, it's like the Fallout effect. The time you are walking from location to location is meant to be spent in meditation about the story chunk that you just imbibed. And to me, that's as defensible as the loop in Destiny where you spend part of the time, you know, using your reflexes quickly and being like on the edge of your seat shooting shit. And you spend part of your time thinking about and meditating on this gun's so cool. Oh, I can use these tokens to up it even more. God, I love this gun. Like inventory management shit. I feel like the emptiness is a feature, not a bug.
It has to be because otherwise it's a colossal mistake, which I do not think is what. I don't think that's the appropriate way to ingest
this.
This
game is filled with hundreds of things. The game is full of things.
Right.
It's no shortage of thinking of systems or little gameplay loops or anything. The game's full of bullshit to do, like tons of it.
So you're having just to briefly recap, you're basically having the experience I described with Breath of the Wild. That's what you're having when you're playing Death Stranding.
It felt,
which is,
I compared it in my head a lot to Breath of the Wild, yes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Another game that's slipping my mind. But honestly, that's part of, I honestly don't think I've experienced a game exactly like it, which is why I'm so fascinated by it now.
It is unique. Like that's the thing I could never take away from it. There's nothing else like it at all. Nothing aesthetically like it, nothing like lore-wise like it,
right.
And nothing game mechanics like it, except for maybe Metal Gear Solid 5.
And the themes that it's asking you to meditate on are so viscerally true and feel like so auteur, like an auteur indie sad boy director, I could see making a movie about this. You know
sure.
what I mean?
I would really like to see Lars von Trier's movie that takes place in this universe. I don't want to see Kojima's because Kojima wants to jam this full of weird teenage nonsensical bullshit.
I was really down on his structural skills after Phantom Limb, because Phantom Limb's story is bullshit, dude.
But how can you say this is more clear? It's not. It's way less clear.
I played through it, and even though I agree with you that informational tidbits could have been dispensed at different times, by the end, I understood everything. Everything was very concrete, and it was incredibly cathartic and satisfying. Like, it blew my mind.
Yeah, God, I wish I'd had that experience. I honestly do.
Not only the rote experience of, like, completing a road, connecting a city with a full-on road, that's very satisfying in one way. It's like beating a boss in Bloodborne to me. They felt similar.
Yeah.
Especially when you combine the social aspect that you had real people giving you validation by sending you likes for your fucking road and your ability to maintain the infrastructure. I know that it's a self-aggrandizing to say it invented a new genre, but I think by claiming that, Kojima did something really clever, because calling it a strand game is just, again, riffing on the theme. It's all about connection. Like, it's so consistent. Chiralium, the made-up mineral, comes out in the shape of hands, which are symmetrical but not identical. You know, they're you can flop them. They're not. I think it's called chirally symmetrical, which is where that comes from. But to me, that's such an elegant visual metaphor for humans. Other humans are exactly like me, but different, like a left hand to a right hand. Higgs is the villain. Higgs is the God particle that provides the quality that allows particles to have mass, so it connects all existence. The cities are called knots, which is where a bunch of strings come together and get connected, right? Everything, fucking umbilical cords are a theme. The beaches connect, like, in a Jungian subconscious. And he called it a strand game. And, like, the Cupid shoots you and you fall in love, which is the most, you know, quote-unquote, like, beautiful form of human connection. The game itself has social integration in a novel way that hadn't been used before, which That's is true. Where he gets off calling it a strand game, where, like, your structures are seen. I mean, it had been used before. It's similar to how Bloodborne co-op works, but with structures instead of players. I just think there's so much on point, on display. And at the end, the plot beats did pay off for me. So, like, let me ask you, you, did it not pay off? Did you not feel that cathartic, like, whatever, like, ooh, that story beat, boom.
Never.
When you realized that Clifford was Mads Mikkelsen, was seeking him and not seeking the BB, and that he was his kid and he was once a BB.
I had such a shrug to that.
Man, to me, that was such a cathartic, like, finale episode of a series of TV payoff. Like, it, well, oh, that's shit, what it's trying he to grew be. Up a BB. Yeah, and it worked on me.
Right, and so, like, far be it from me to say, no, it didn't. Because, like, sure, okay, I believe you. I believe you. But, like, but so no, I guess the constructive... Yeah, but you're full of shit. The thing that is constructive to see where maybe we don't line up is, why... What is the point where you had buy-in on this game? Like, where did you feel like, I'm into this game and I'm going to see it through?
It's there were a few points where I remember feeling that very early on. One was when the walking became meaningful to me, which was a very Breath of the Wild experience, because it was like cresting a particular hill, coming into a knot. It just looked very beautiful, and a great song played, like, just a really well chosen song, and I was like, this game fucking rules. Like, I'm vibing so hard right now. I want to live in this universe the way it feels right now. I just love being here. It feels meaningful, it feels poignant and fraught with depth for some reason. And other moments that come to mind were, like, the first time I saw the boss BTs felt to me similar to seeing some David Lynch images where you go, like, that's why he gets the big bucks. Like, the way that lion with the gold mask looks, I'm like, that just looks so fucking cool. I'm so into it. And then the big twist for me was, I remember laughing and, in fact, writing satirical material about the trailer for this game featuring a seemingly never-ending cavalcade of people turning to camera and shedding a single tear, where you're like, this is ridiculous. This is laughably stupid. This is just a montage of people crying. Yet the way it's worked into the lore, where they are allergic to their own innate self-destructive tendencies, which are these things called dooms, is used in different ways so impactfully throughout the plot that, like, every time someone cried as a result of the dooms, I was like, that moment just fucking works. I am on board for this. I can't believe, honestly, that the guy who did Phantom Limb is showing such elegance and restraint. And for me, I really think it's a symphony. Like, the whole game just became about the longing to connect. I mean, literally the title is Death Stranding, which is like, to me, and I talk about this in therapy all the time, I have a great fear of my own mortality and my knowledge that I'll die someday. And I, like, legit have panic attacks about it, where I have the fight or flight response and I don't know what to do with myself, because there's no way out. You can't deny or escape that. And when I get to the root of it, it's because my fear is that somehow when I'm dead, it will be being alone forever. What I fear about death is actually solitude and loneliness. And right. I think that's what Death Stranding is about, is the innate desire of all humans to reconnect. And we get scattered and we reconnect and we get scattered and we reconnect. And a game like that, to come out during pandemic quarantine, I'm like, this is a timeless masterpiece for the era. Like, to me, I put it there with Get Out, as like, it came out at the perfect time and it's the perfect tone, and I just, man, I couldn't love it more. I think it's so keen.
Wow. I will definitely not pair this with Get Out. That will not happen. So, okay, that's awesome. I envy that experience of this game. I really do. Now, let me at least put what I think is something close to objectivity as a counterpoint to it, at least for the audience's sake.
Sorry. But you did this to me earlier, so it's okay. Just before we move on, also the fact that the ending, that it's a game about connection, and the ending is hugging, is just so on brand for me. That's so fucking up my alley. Because I'm a Montessori kid.
Right.
So, like, I wrote, stories and drew comics that ended that way. Like, a violence-driven action plot that ends with, secretly to win, you have to hug the bad guy. Good shit. It's the balm we need for a divided nation. It's literally about reconnecting America, coming out at a time when that is literally what America needs.
Sure.
And we are subsumed by this tar that just fucking, it resonates on, it works on so many levels.
I mean, I'm glad you're having that experience with it.
And it's just fun to play. I think it's fucking fun as hell to play.
I don't agree with that.
Dude, even when you get to the point where you're like, throwing the blood grenade and shooting through it to line up headshots with BTs and stuff, like, that stuff rips.
It's okay. I don't think it rips. I think it's okay. There's never a single moment in this game that is a tenth of as fun as Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, not even close.
Fighting Mads Mikkelsen in the trenches?
That's okay. No? It's all right. But again, and I've also played the game for like 50 hours to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, man. I was Fulton ballooning fools in like hour 10 in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
And people were griping about it took that long to get to the fun stuff or that game. So let me just briefly say, like, this is the thing I talk about with film students a lot, which is like, so it's fine for everyone to have their own subjective experience, right? And say that this is a good piece of work based on your experience of it. But in like any kind of common language, like a common cinematic language, this is a game that has the same problem that like Tarantino's Hollywood movie had, which is like, it's not really about anything clear. It's got a lot of things in it that are interesting. And some people are like, that's enough for me. I don't mind sort of like,
wait. How could it be clearer? Every single
by delivering beats in a way that are intelligible and not putting
every note of the thing, every pixel on the screen is about human connection, reconnecting, connection between two humans.
If I can dig through the fucking nonsense of like names that are stupid and acronyms I don't understand and skull-faced presidents and dying of cancer mothers who you hate and sisters who are on a spiritual plane for no reason, and like if I can dig through all that bullshit, yeah, you're right, it's all there. But the problem is that bullshit is my entryway into this, so I don't understand it. I don't like it enough to be like, well, what's this really about? Which you do, and that's like the fundamental problem here. On like a basic film school level, again, it's very much like a Tarantino film, like his most recent one, where it's like, look, I'm not gonna like do the story. I'm gonna do the feeling of a story, and then kind of like coast around and just enjoy this like landscape and enjoy all this like texture. And then some people are like, that's amazing, and I would say, no, it's not. That's just like bloated nonsense that like somebody needed to come to Tarantino, or in this case Kojima, and say, tell a story, tell it clearly, cut all this crap out, make it so that it's easy to follow so that people will like your fucking game. And the problem is that he's had so much carte blanche for so long that nobody can tell him that anymore. Nobody can be like, this is a cool idea you have here, which I agree with you, it is. Like, so let's take 80% of this nonsense out and just explain what these BTs are without a bunch of acronyms and obscure fucking interfaces with like weird, like, you know, Android-esque fonts and shit that are like, what does any of this mean? And just like help me understand what the hell is going on.
So let me ask you this. Do you enjoy Star Wars?
I kind of enjoy Star Wars.
Kind of. Okay.
I don't love it. I think it's okay.
You like Destiny, but maybe not for this reason. Do you have lore joy?
Very rarely. Like very rarely.
Vernacular, I mean, the real sciences, the joy of learning words. I mean, any profession, really. Did you like learning, like, on-set lingo, like tweeters and babies and pancakes and shit?
Yes, but I didn't need to learn C-47s. That as the way to understand why film is interesting.
No, not at all, but... That's true. So maybe it's frivolous, I guess. But
it's not that it's frivolous. What I'm saying is that it's too many steps to get to the piece of it that's actually rewarding.
So what I'm saying, if the core of the game is this very, what I consider like a mature, resonant,
yeah,
metaphysical truth,
sure,
that's worth meditating
I
on
agree
for some time.
With all that.
And the conveyance, like the meat and potatoes of the story, is a bunch of random lore that's just intricately connected, but it could have been totally different, but it isn't. Like, it didn't have to be skull masks. It could have been some other thing.
Sure.
But it's a bunch of imagery that he chose because he found it cool and it set the tone, it set the vibe. I would argue, or I would challenge you to name you just compared it to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I think is apt.
Yeah.
I agree. So then the conveyance is just a bunch of stuff that was optional. It's like filigree. It's just style. Could have been other stuff.
Correct.
It's not super efficient, but it passed the time and the people looked interesting and there were interesting concepts thrown out generally.
Correct.
I agree with that assessment. And I would say that that makes this the strongest narrative of like any video game ever.
Because you can do the spreadsheet math where it all adds up?
Well, no, because I actually think video game narrative is generally that's a part other than The Last of Us comes to mind. And potentially Uncharted is more straightforward. But Uncharted is so recapitulating Indiana Jones that
right,
it almost feels like a non-funny satire. Like, it's just a best of album of,
I think you're,
you know, how
I
these
think
stories
you're
go
extremely ungenerous to games that are in that sort of like action or crime or thriller genre. Like, you're being as equally ungenerous with those games as you are being generous to Death Stranding in this depiction.
Do you think it's crazy to say Death Stranding is the most adult, mature storytelling in video gaming history? Is that crazy?
Boy, I wish I knew more. No, I think it's a contender, but I also would have to say it has to be successful for it to achieve.
There's things
that,
like Braid and whatnot, that could make me eat my words, that are
well,
more focused.
This
little
Dragon
indie
Cancer
things, Right. Sure.
You know, like I would argue that's more mature in its way. You could make the argument BioShock is equally mature in its way.
Yeah. But I think you need the auteur madman to get this.
I agree
with
that.
Which is a triple A level of polish. This is also the first game I found myself using photo mode extensively in because it's gorgeous.
Sure, it is. Yeah.
This is like a triple A game that's so fucking weird. When do you get that?
Well,
I love it.
I like that it's weird. I don't think it's weird that adds up in the way that appeals to me. There's a part of me that's like, it feels very realistic at times. Like having these like,
and then at other times, Dead Man and Die Hard Men
it's this
hard to buy.
Right, it's this weird mashing of tones. That's like, if a Coen brother had directed this, it'd be fucking incredible. You know what I mean? Like if those guys had all these elements and just rearranged them to their liking, it'd be amazing. This would be an incredible game. You know, because those guys know how to mash those things.
They were constrained to like. It had to be an apocalyptic tale about beached things
that
are subconsciously connected.
But I think they could use all these elements, everything about it, and make an incredible story out of it. Like the problem here is that the maestro of the song, like they have all the cool notes, but they don't have a fucking song. You know.
So for people listening who are debating whether to play this based on our conversation, do you think it's worth engaging with? To see what it is. Like, you know what I mean?
I do.
Because it's so out of the ordinary anyway.
I
even if you don't end up finding it fun.
I believe 90 to 95% of people are going to play this game and think this is garbage. And not garbage, like nothing about it is good, because it's very clear some things are good right away. But garbage, like, this isn't fun. It's just fundamentally not fun. And if it's not fun, why am I doing it? You know, like, it's simple as that. Now, but I do think there's a 5 to 10% of people who will play the game that are going to have, you know, this transcendent spiritual experience. And my God, I wish I was one of the saints marching in on this. I really do.
You got to admit, the walking from one place to another is far more eventful than Fallout's, for example. Like, walking across the wasteland is more boring.
I also don't like Fallout that much. I'm going to go back to...
Dagger to my heart.
But you know that. That's not news to you. I like it better than this because it's more fun regularly.
That makes it worse. I wish you liked this better.
I wish I did too. I just don't. Breath of the Wild is a perfect...
So alone. So alone.
Breath of the Wild is a perfect connection to this because... maybe because I'm already bought in a little bit on Zelda, so maybe I have a pro-Zelda bias in my heart. And I'll admit to that. But also because I just enjoy the game loop more. Like, it's fun from the very beginning, and it never stops being fun. Like, now, some people, like Tom, for instance, Tom and I had a big argument about this, think that the game is intentionally obstructive in ways that are frustrating, like with the weapons breaking and stuff. And my argument, and I think that's a legitimate critique, and that's my whole problem with Death Stranding in the first place, which is it makes everything that's easy to do in other video games very hard to do. Climbing is hard. Walking is hard. Crossing a river, hard. You know, it's
right,
like,
which I think is... I mean, that's what I love in... There's so many films I love, like Blue Ruin comes to mind, where he steals a gun and it has a lock on the trigger. It has a trigger lock on it, and he spends a good chunk of the movie trying to break the lock open, and it ends up ruining the gun, and that's that. I love movies and games and any narrative where they go... What if we took it seriously in real life? And you know, that's
like
how we
Red
come
Dead
up,
2,
you know,
right?
This well. It's how we come up with a lot of sketch premises too. Is like, I know this trope treats this like this, but what if he got shot in the shoulder and he bled out and died immediately?
Right.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And that's what would really happen. Shit like that. So I think I do think it's intentional, and it's to make you realize that even something as mundane as walking actually involves a lot of processes and is fairly engaging and interesting if you calm your mind and meditate on that act.
I'm going to accept the majority of that. I would quibble with the part where it is enjoyable. I don't think it is.
It made me grateful to be alive, Adam.
Yeah, we're just having a different experience.
And like Tarantino, the soundtrack selection is choice.
You said the soundtrack thing. I my only counterpoint is like, yeah, it's there sometimes. Not a lot, but it's there sometimes. I agree. And it's great.
Well, you can turn it on whenever you want eventually.
Which is fine. Doesn't make it a good game. You know, like,
hey, at least it has a plot, Mr. Zelda boy.
This is gonna hurt
your
feelings.
Your protagonist doesn't speak.
This is gonna hurt your feelings. I'm sorry about that. But like, I would argue that Zelda is better because it has less plot than this. Like, I think this thing is like has so much plot that it's actually hindering our ability to enjoy it emotionally. Like, for instance, and I know I'm not the only one that felt this way because I read some reviews. I was mad that I couldn't play the damn game for 2 hours. Let me play the game. I watched a fucking feature film before I could play the game. You know,
meaning unskippable cutscenes.
Yes, and also cutscenes that were at the end of it. I know less about what's going on than when I started. It's like the worst seasons of Lost all the time, where I'm like, okay, they're not going to explain the fucking polar bear, and there's no Ben Linus here. They're just like weirdly talking about plane crashes and shit. And I don't know what any of this is. You know, like
I would argue that Death Stranding does pass the math test. Like, by the full completed ending of the game, if you were taking notes and added everything up, everything is explained.
That's the part
but
where
I know
you
Cody
and I,
says that about Lost, and I disagree.
Well,
so.
I think he's right about Lost. That's the part where I'm so glad you can say that, because that's the part where you and I don't disagree. We agree about that, and that tells you it's not just about everything. Final, every box gets checked. That is not what makes people feel the sort of narrative connection or the triumphant feeling of a thing working. Some people it is. Like, I think for you it is.
It's also the way in which they're checked, so to speak.
It's more that than that they get checked. It's more the way.
Kojima treats it like a jazz solo, basically.
That's all he knows how to do.
It goes wherever it wants.
He doesn't know how to play an orchestra. He doesn't know how to do that. He knows how to step up with a saxophone and go, here we go, baby. We're going to play the solo from National Anthem by Radiohead. Fortunately,
at least for me, yeah. It's going
like
to cause
too.
An emotional impact. Like, he can swing a big bat, so to speak.
He also misses a lot. Like this,
Lynch has the same aspect where it's like, he misses a lot, but when he gets me, it's like, I don't know what you did, but I feel weird and I like it.
Yeah, see, Lynch,
something about this
Lynch
escapes being defined.
Right. Lynch is a great comparison because, like, I don't think everything... Lynch doesn't actually go through the exposition to explain everything. Like, if he made a 4-hour movie that wasn't Inland Empire, I think his movies could make sense. Like, they could all add up. But that's not what makes him good. You know, what makes him good is, like, that he has this, you know, llorando scene. It's like, I don't know what happened there, but my God, you know, like, watch these women cry to this woman singing in Spanish. It's incredible.
Right. There is just a skill of combining elements into something that strikes a chord that resonates with the human soul, and you don't even have to know why.
Yes, and that's more
important. I mean,
important.
It's exactly in the same way an abstract painting can be arresting.
Like, I love Kandinsky.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it means something specific. I'll be like, no. You know, like, but like, I love his work. I really do. It's more important to the emotional connection of a consumer for the pieces to add up to emotional catharsis than for them to make narrative sense. In my opinion, I think David Lynch is more important than Kojima. Or than Fallout, for instance, because of that skill. I think that skill is more important than like
cool
spreadsheet.
Would you agree with me that of all the nonsense lore, this is the most elegant? Like the others are even worse, so to speak.
I would. So the only reason I'm reacting so vociferously to it is that the game...
I'm like, Phantom Limb is truly nonsense.
No, I hate...
You want to see some nonsense.
But we laughed at that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that game's also stupid.
Sahelanthropus.
Oh, Sahelanthropus. Get the fuck out of here. Stupid. Also,
Revolver Ocelot, also known as Gerald.
Also known as Adamska, Adam, Freddy McFredderson. Like, what the Which name is it? Pick one, stupid asshole. So, like, he does do this shit. What was your question? I just lost it because of fucking Sahelanthropus. Oh, God.
Well, we're talking about Lynch, Kandinsky, yeah, and Kojima, right, you know, three equally talented artists.
So I don't remember what your question was, but like, broadly speaking, being able to affect the audience through tactics, through techniques and tactics, and of course I'm going to say this because I'm a director, is every bit as important as the substance. And Kojima does not have that ability. Why? Like, he hasn't figured it out yet. And he's had a lot of shots at it, man. I just kind of think he doesn't know how to do it. You know, because the guy's not a young guy. He's not still exploring the art form. He's been doing this for like 50 years now, or however long, you know?
Yeah, at this point, he's also successful enough that I doubt there's a lot of pushback forcing him to evolve his storytelling techniques. Isn't. He's going to ride it
there
out.
Clearly,
yeah.
I wish some young, hungry filmmaker had all these elements and was just like, cut this down till you think it's a good story and tell that story. Like, I honestly think this would be an incredible indie game. I know it couldn't be because of the money involved to make a world like this, but like, I think there's an indie game here that's like amazing.
Isn't it technically an indie game? I think it is.
Just like
a AAA indie.
$30 or $20, like, you know, 5-hour thing. Like, I think that would be cool.
Oh, sure. Like Return of Obra Dinn, like super focused.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I want out of this. I just want the focused version of it. I don't think it's cool enough to do like a 4 seasons of television story out of this. At least I'm not experiencing that.
So, you know, like when the perfect lo-fi beats playlist is playing and it's foggy out and there's a warm mug of coffee and whatever, and it's perfect and the cat's on your lap. Like, I like the vibe of this world so much. I appreciated how long it was because of my tactile desire to engage with it.
That's how I felt about Breath of the Wild. That game could have gone on forever.
I found it incredibly soothing. It actually diminished the frequency of my panic attacks and stuff like that. So
you should write him a thank you letter. Like, you really should. He did something for you.
Let me ask you this, because you also don't like my other favorite game. So is this better than Psychonauts?
No, I do like Psychonauts. I just haven't been like in a place to play it. I don't think Psychonauts is bad. I think Psychonauts is way more creative. I think Psychonauts is like sort of, I think the cartoonish feel of it is a little alienating for me. But that's really just me being an old bastard. Like, it's me hating Pokemon, if you will.
As we talked about in our last episode.
The narrative of it, though, is perfectly serviceable and good. And also, I do think it's streamlined enough. I don't think it's like too convoluted. You know?
Oh, yeah. Psychonauts is easy to grok. Yeah. It's no big deal.
But it's not that easy. But it's not that easy.
Super
to grok.
Imaginative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That guy, the Double Fine guy, that's who should make Death Stranding.
Tim Schafer.
Yeah, Tim Schafer.
Yeah, Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
I always think of just as such a lovely world and so imaginative. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love those kinds of storytellers. And I like that about Kojima. I just don't think he...
That's what I meant about nerd lore and the density of, like, I just love a new... I actually do love, as pointless as it is, learning how a new universe works, the magic systems, the whatever, you know, this council decided this after the great cataclysm, so now things work this way, and that's how magic functions, the ley lines do this.
Right.
I love all that shit if it's really good and ambitious, and I can tell there's a lot of thought and passion behind the person, world building, they call it, back in my day, I just love meticulous world building, and I do think, like, with Death Stranding, Kojima has done his best world building ever.
I agree. I just wish that, like Skyrim, it was streamlined enough that the main narrative experience wasn't obstructed by the side quests. See, and that's the problem, is I think a lot of this would be, like, awesome side quests or DLCs. Like, I think that one, the story of the woman who's still connected to her baby that ends up dying with her twin or whatever, that's a really cool DLC. Right? Really cool.
Right.
Like a good 10-hour DLC. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's true. I see. So, I mean, it's just a difference of, yeah, our experiences. I did find, as I say, like the big plot payoffs, like, oh, you were a BB that was raised. That's why you can repatriate, et cetera, et cetera. Amelie is Bridget. That's her spirit in the beach form. That stuff did all hit me. Like, it worked on me in the way of like Memento twist, you know, like, oh shit, that is true. Oh wow. That did get me. And what were we talking about?
We're talking about whether or not the density of the material should be laid out like DLCs or not.
That's right. I was gonna say the one that missed me is Heartman's plot didn't seem to have payoff in the way that generally, my understanding from like screenwriting, if you do a planned payoff, there should have been one more beat with Heartman's story. I didn't know what the deal was.
He should have been
that.
A second playable character in a DLC. That would have been very
cool. I would not
cool.
disagree that a bunch of DLCs about each sub character would be really dope. I agree.
Yeah.
That would be really
like,
interesting.
Again, let us focus on the already dense enough main story. You know, like,
so you'd lose like Dead Man, Die Hard Man, Clifford, and Heart Man.
Lose all that.
And it would just be like a 10-hour game where you learn about what strands are and you build roads and you connect America and it says good
and
job.
And it turns out you're the baby all along. Yeah, that's enough.
And then it's like, to find out more, download this shit and you can play as Heart Man and do a weird thing.
You meet all these people, you just don't get so invested in their narrative. You know what I mean? Like you meet Fragile. Maybe Fragile's still in it. But like you
see, I actually did have a big problem with Quiet. I think Quiet is at the
you
core.
You mean Fragile?
Quiet's
the character from Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think Quiet was at her core a male gaze character.
Yeah, duh.
Like
dumb
as hell. Like a misogyny character. Fragile, despite the name, which I made fun of before I played the game because I was like, here we go again. Fragile actually is a pretty well-rounded character with a lot of shit going on in the plot that is very interesting.
He definitely got woke enough not to be offensive in this
Fragile
story.
Is not offensive, but you would think after the name Quiet and the name Fragile, you're like, oh boy,
I was
here
worried.
We go again. But it's not that.
No, he managed to not step on that landmine. Like he's not offending woke thinkers this time around. He's just offending people with like coherent narrative sensibilities.
There you go. I feel like we're getting dry and in the weeds. Is it time to wrap it out?
Well, yes.
Is there more juicy? I want big juicy philosophical or story shit.
I wish I had more. I just didn't have enough buy-in to get curious about the undercurrent of it. I think we've done a good job talking about the main thing about this game.
Okay. Did you think it was a cool mystery box technique? How you saw you were riding the elevator, you would see from BB's view, Mads Mikkelsen.
Did you find that
impactful technique?
I thought at first the baby thing was going to be very dumb, and shitty horror beat. I thought for a while that's what we were going to get. They did a nice job with it. It's still completely perplexing how it would work at all. But, I'll give it some suspension of disbelief, and I do like what they did with the baby stuff.
I loved
it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
The final choice of taking Lou out of the thing.
It's the only thing that could happen.
Off the grid it's the only thing that could happen, but it gave me the cathartic feeling of finality of like, and it is done. The destiny is fulfilled.
Right. The baby is free to grow finally. Yeah.
And I just thought everything, it just looked cool as hell.
It did look cool as hell.
It made me feel weird. And that's what I like. Like when you, the lighting on the shit when Clifford Unger is weeping black tears and zombie World War One soldiers are rising from the muck. It just looks cool.
It does
as
look
hell.
Very cool. It really does. It's a very sophisticated horror sensibility, like in terms of imagery. Like the guy is a vivid image maker. He's so
There's
good.
There's a reason
at that.
He gets someone like Nicholas Winding Refn to be in his fucking video game.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm not saying they're I don't think Nicholas Winding Refn's all that great, but
I like him.
They share a visual sensibility that's very sophisticated.
I also think Kojima just likes whacking off and wants to be important. You know, I like
he likes rubbing elbows and other body parts with famous
right.
directors.
That's what he likes
Who
to
wouldn't?
Do.
I'd love to do that.
I'd like to just be the director. I don't need
I'd love to work with Guillermo del Toro because he respects my work. That
That'd
would
be cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, sure. That'd be cool. I'd like to work with Refn in that respect, but also I don't know. That to me is like where we start feeling the pretension, like the pretentious vibe that mm-hmm. often trickles into his work. That's the point where I was like, this isn't cool, it's pretentious. Like you didn't get Jack Nicholson.
To me,
you got Guillermo del Toro.
The swing at pretentiousness I actually liked. I felt like it's refreshing to be in a room where all the adults are. Like kids wouldn't even like this game. I liked that about it.
Right. That gives it a sense of of gravity.
Or like just as I age,
yeah.
It's fun to see a medium that I love also mature.
That's fair.
See signs of that.
I this is just Adam's taste. I have like a Pitchfork review version of taste for this game. Okay. I've said my piece.
All
on
right.
Death Stranding.
Okay. As have I, sir.
Yeah.
And I feel more connected with you as a result.
That is true. We have had
Making
a chiral
this
network here.
Episode officially a part of the chiral network and a strand. This is a strand episode. It's a whole new genre
yeah.
of podcasting.
Yeah. Should we pass our final checkpoint, but avoid the sixth stranding?
The sixth extinction, yes, indeed.
Yeah, sixth extinction.
We will pass the checkpoint, which in this case is speculating wildly about how Kojima's definitely making a PT game and it's going to bring back the Silent Hill franchise. It's going to be great.
A PT game? What do you mean?
Do you not know about PT?
No, tell me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so like ubiquitous in my world
yeah.
that I can't believe you haven't heard of it. Kojima famously made a horror game called PT that never came to fruition. PT stands for like playable test. And people consider it, you know, horror fans of horror games, which I am too scared to play. I don't like being suddenly surprised by things in games. And PT supposedly is really fucking scary. And people love to pass it around and talk about how you can't find it anywhere because it was canceled and they hope Kojima makes it someday or brings back Silent Hill in some fashion, which he said he will never do.
Well, you know, with Kojima, anything is possible.
I hope he keeps making new universes with dense lore that is unrelated to any pre-existing universe.
I hope
That's
he gets a
favorite.
Thelma Schoonmaier. Is that her name? The editor from Scorsese?
I don't know.
I hope
okay.
he gets Scorsese's editor to come in there and be like, no, cut this, this, and this. And like,
Scorsese has an editor?
Yeah, dude. His
You would never know.
His
it.
Editor
That's
is...
That's his big problem.
His editor is a huge part of shaping his movies. Huge part.
Well, maybe this will help you decide whether to play Death Stranding or not. I don't like Scorsese and think Scorsese is wildly overrated. So that's for a different podcast.
Wow. Yeah.
Haven't I said that in your presence before?
No. I don't entirely hate that opinion.
And it's because of his editing or lack thereof. Bugs
yeah,
me. Bugs the shit out of me.
He's not the worst offender on that, but I'm with you on some of what you're saying there.
Ooh, who's the worst?
Tarantino.
I mean, is Tarantino
yeah.
the worst? Okay.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's the worst. He's pretty bad. He's pretty bad. There's only really four or five guys that even get to be that bloated.
They get to do that when they want.
Yeah.
yeah.
And Tarantino's made several 3-hour films now that were better as 1.5-hour films to me. Like even Django Unchained, I walked out of theater. I was like, that was an hour too long. Good movie,
yeah.
but it was an hour too long.
Have you read 100 Years of Solitude?
I have, but a very long time ago.
Death Stranding filled me with the same
yeah.
world-building lore that
I see
did,
that.
Where you like find out quirky little things, and you're just like, that's so weird and neat.
It has a kind of... It does sort of try to fuse different tones together the way that novel does.
Yeah. It's a magical realism.
Yeah, man. It is, a little bit. I agree with that. Magical realism is not a bad connecting point. And that is very fun to engage with. You've softened my visceral hate of it a little bit.
Hooray.
Yeah, well done.
This really just made me miss you so much, man.
I know, man. Wouldn't it be great to hang out? I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
well,
someday.
As of this recording, they have two vaccines that have an over 90% success rate in trials.
Soon, here's hoping.
I'll tell you this. My ass is coming to L.A. immediately upon it being in my veins. Give me that vax, baby.
Yeah, that'd be fun. For sure.
I never thought when I relocated it would be like over a year before I saw my friends or family again in person. It's bizarre.
It's, you're right that this game does fit this now. Yeah, and you should be. I mean, and it's getting worse. So, like, we
Jen's immunocompromised, so yeah, we're strict.
Yeah, that's good. Good for you.
I guess.
I mean,
I'll see you in Valhalla, my friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all kind of need to get more strict, right? I mean, we're getting 170,000 cases a day now.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
We have to do a segment. Hey, let's hurry it up.
Keep or delete. I apologize. So I'm still going to delete this. I do admire the effort. And I admire your point of view about it. But no, I don't. I think the aliens are going to be very angry with us.
And I'm going to keep it. It's my favorite game. I think it will be dethroned. It will just serve as my favorite game for a time because it's a game that has a time and place. And thank you for reveling in it with me.
Of course.
That's
absolutely
all. Yeah, let's wrap it up because are you sick of talking to me?
No, not at all.
We've been podcasting for a bit because, do you have to turn in soon?
I have to turn in somewhat soon. Right. But
my PS5 came today. I was like, do you want to fuck around?
Oh, shit.
Chat and play Valhalla or something?
Oh, I do want to do that. Can you do it tomorrow night?
Yeah, we can do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow night it shall be, my friend.
All right.
Well,
and that's the episode.
And that's the end.
Play Psychonauts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.